Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to sprucepine.org, a great way to find out what's going on in those beautiful towns in North Carolina and a place where my family has been in and around for many years. This is Dr. John. You might know me from Pop Culture Stars and from Scarycast, but I'm here tonight hosting sprucepine.org. We got a great guest tonight. He is true mover and shaker up in the community of Spruce Pine, Mitchell County. And I have to say this, I always have to say this, Mitchell County, the home of Mount Mitchell, the tallest mountain peak on the East Coast. So anyway, tonight our guest is Jimmy Henshaw. How are you doing tonight, Jimmy?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I hope you are well on your end also.
Yeah, we're all right down here in beautiful, sunny, and extremely hot Myrtle Beach today. How was the weather up there? I mean, it was brutal down here.
It was extremely warm today. I was traveling through western North Carolina over through Asheville, and we were, you know, right around the 90-degree mark all day, which usually at this elevation we're fairly, I won't say cool, but we're definitely not as hot as down near the beach. So it was warm today.
Yeah, and I tell you what, one thing that I did not mention with you when we talked a little earlier today, you are the home of one of my favorite golf courses, Grassy Creek.
Well, it's funny. I actually live on the golf course here, Grassy Creek in the community. So it's one of my favorite golf courses also because of its close proximity.
Well, that's great. I won my first golf tournament at Grassy Creek when I was a junior. I think I was 15 years old, and I won my age division. So I always loved Grassy Creek, and I remember there's a couple holes where you drive, and it's heading right straight down the mountain, and it's just beautiful. So anyway, a lot of great memories from up there in Spokane. We're glad to have you. You're doing something very important. You're producing, I guess that's the best word to say, you're producing an event up there in Spokane called That is the Spruce Pine Annual Conference and Expo. Tell us a little bit, just because folks are going to be listening and they don't know what space might be. So tell us about it. And how did it come about?
Sure. You know, it's a great question. So I'm originally from Spruce Pine. I was born and raised here. I moved away for a couple of decades, and about 3 years ago, moved back. My parents are getting older, and I wanted to be closer to them. And when I returned to the community, it was not the same town that I had left, and not in a way where, you know, typically you leave a place, you come back, obviously things change, but just the manufacturing that the town really, its economy thrived on, was no longer here. A lot of those manufacturing jobs had left. And the community kind of lost some of its charm to some degree. There's it's kind of turning a curve to a new chapter, as a lot of rural America is. It's kind of struggling with what do we do after manufacturing, and when some people lean to tourism or other things. And so when I came to town, I just really wanted to get people excited about it again. Spruce Pine's a magical place. So I'll start with a little bit of history here. Spruce Pine is the largest deposit of pure quartz in the entire world. And what that means is, and you can see that, look this up in Wired magazine, and there's some other articles that have been published by magazines and newspapers throughout our society. But basically, all technology as we know it, whether it's chips and cell phones, computers, even televisions, everything technology with a chip in it, used our pure quartz in the manufacturing process of those devices. So the tiles on the space shuttle, the Hubble telescope, all these components were mined in our town. So that's the history of Spruce Pine that I built from mining. Move forward to its relevance and what the space conference is. So we were looking for ways to drive interest and excitement in the community. We did some research. We discovered that Mitchell County is the county where Spruce Pine is contained within. Mitchell County has more UFO sightings in North Carolina than any other county. And that's not per capita. They literally have more sightings here than anywhere else, whether it's Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, Raleigh-Durham, or even out at the coast. There's more sightings here. So I took that information with the UFO sightings, with the history of everything we mine here, whether it's technology, the Hubble telescope, tiles on the space shuttle, ties directly to space exploration. And then we have a nearby, and I believe this is from your home county, if I'm not mistaken, but the Brown Mountain Lights are nearby in a neighboring county in Burke County. And just last week, Appalachian State, you're familiar. So
absolutely.
Just last week, Appalachian State University confirmed the existence of the Brown Mountain Lights. They captured the lights from two different cameras, and they were able to eliminate, they could not determine a natural cause for the lights. And this just happened 3 days ago. So
no,
all this excitement,
I want to interject,
and it's great. Sure.
I want to interject something about the Brown Mountain Lights. It seemed as though, because when I was a kid, they were always there. It seemed to be about a 25-year period when the Brown Mountain Lights did not appear. And then just recently, from what I understand, they've come back. Now, there are two such sets of lights that are anomalous. Nobody knows why they're there or how it works. One is in Morganton, County, my hometown. And then the other one, have you ever heard of a city called Marfa in Texas?
And I think it's because they have a similar phenomenon there, if I'm not mistaken, with the unexplained lights.
They do, the Marfa lights, and they've even built a visitor center there. I have a fellow on my Starcast podcast talk about those for an hour. They're phenomenal. I've seen pictures of them. And I think the only two places in the United States you have anomalous lights in the sky are Burke County / Mitchell County, and in Marfa, Texas. So there are two things you really should be proud of, and I guess you keyed off of the anomalous lights in the sky and kind of moved forward with UFOs, right?
You're exactly right, and it also helped that the Brown Mountain Lights here in our backyard, they were featured in an episode mm-hmm. In the X-Files, and I believe that was in season 6, if memory serves me. But so it's just, there's a lot of phenomenon here. We're also adjacent to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Blue Ridge Parkway, you mentioned Mount Mitchell earlier on. It leads right up to Mount Mitchell. It runs along the ridge of the Appalachian and the Blue Ridge Mountains here, rather. And it's just, there's so many overlooks. And a lot of times people stop and they view things in this area and, you know, they've seen a lot of things and they've reported many things. I like to say that I've seen a lot of UFOs in my lifetime. That doesn't mean they're extraterrestrial. It just means I don't know what it was. But there is a lot of unexplained phenomenon here. And there's just all this information, whether it's Brown Mountain Lights, our space exploration routes and our technology, and also the reported UFO sightings. Also, our local community college here is called Malin Community College. They've established the Bear Dark Sky Observatory, and that Dark Sky Observatory is one of only 20 dark sky observatories in the U.S. It's the only one in the Southeast, and it's the only certified dark sky observatory that is associated with a business of higher learning. And for those of you listeners who don't know what a dark sky observatory is, it's basically an area where there's no artificial light, and they've created this this observation tool, this dark sky telescope that you can then look in and you can get just gorgeous views of the, whether it's the Milky Way or other heavenly bodies. And if you just Google for Bear, B-A-R-E, Dark Sky Observatory, there's gorgeous pictures on there that they've captured from this society. So the observatory, rather, from their astrology society group they've got up there. They've got some great photos. So put all this together, whether it's UFO reported sightings, space exploration and technology, the Brown Mountain Lights, Dark Sky Observatory, all of a sudden a kind of alien conference and expo made sense. Seemed like excitement, so I teased the idea with the town I mentioned we have a Main Street group that's over our town. I presented the idea to the town of Spruce Pine, the Chamber of Commerce, and also our county commissioners. And everyone just thought it was a really fun and quirky enough idea to draw people. They really loved the concept, and here we are.
Wow, that's great. So you have the whole town is really behind this event, and that's very important.
It is, and you know, it's challenging in small towns. When you take a rural Western North Carolina town, and all of a sudden you throw in their lap the idea of an alien conference and expo, you can expect and maybe kind of prepare yourself for a little apprehension. But it's really been quite the opposite. It's really interesting how our society has changed and how the interest sets of society have moved forward in the past 20, 30 years. If you look at our popular culture, for instance, the biggest blockbuster movies are about aliens, whether it's Star Wars, the Marvel Universe with Thanos and, you know, and all that, that's really a big part of our pop culture right now. And really people are excited about the topic. We had a neighboring town called Marion, North Carolina. And last year, a group of folks, not unlike myself, presented an idea for a Bigfoot festival in Marion, and they reported a one day of attendance around 40,000 people descended into a small rural Western North Carolina town. So we start seeing things like that happen in nearby town. A Bigfoot festival brings 40,000 attendees from all over the world, not just the region, all over the world. We are anticipating and hoping for a similar experience with our festival, that we'll just get a lot of people who just want to have a great time. And, you know, it's a family event. We've got a kids park. We've got some speakers from TV's Ancient Aliens. We've got bands playing for two nights. We've got observatory tours. It's really an interesting event, and we hope we have a similar experience as they did in our neighboring town.
Well, I think you will. I know that I produced similar events this coming weekend. I've got the second annual South Carolina Lizardman Festival. The first one was, it was great. Now, we had 700 people, excuse me, come to the town of Bishopville, which is about all of 100 people. And they were
wow.
All over the country, from Colorado. They were from California. They were individual paid entrants. Lyle Blackman was there, who wrote the book Lizardman, True Story of the Monster of Bishopville. We had a great time. 700 people filled the Cotton Museum. So what we had to do is we are going out this year to the South Carolina Museum. You may not have heard of it. It's a local favorite. And two Quonset Huts, they do concerts there every Friday night. We're going to have an Elvis tribute band. And we're going to have talk about Lizardman, Bigfoot, and all kinds of paranormal things on Saturday along with Bigfoot. So I'm familiar with the type of thing you're talking about, and people do like it. They really gravitate toward, because it's part of the culture. I would bet, now being down here in Myrtle Beach, and we do characters on the boardwalk, I always talk about the paranormal, because those are the events that I run. I don't think I've met anyone in the last 3 years, and I thought about this carefully before I said it. I don't think I've met anyone in the last 3 years that has not had a paranormal experience with a ghost, a UFO, or foot, or some type of cryptid. It's becoming more and more prevalent. It was this way when I was growing up. Did you find that when you grew up, people didn't want to talk about these things, did they, Jimmy?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, and you're absolutely right. So, for instance, when I started presenting this to the town or the chamber and the county, literally everyone, whether it was they had an uncle or a cousin or their grandmother, everyone had a connection with someone who had an experience. And I found that very interesting. And I took note of that. Other people that I've talked to and about this festival, whether it's colleagues, friends, or whatnot, it's interesting that the conversation is like, oh, why are you having an alien festival? It's always like, You know, one time when I was a child, or one time my uncle told me, and they were at a ridge, and they saw these lights come up out of the ground, or they saw something unexplained in the wilderness. It continues to be a topic of conversation, and really people do speak of these things now, and they didn't used to. I the story, not to be just like the stories I'm referencing, but I had an uncle. A great uncle, it was a distant uncle, that reported having experiences, you know, seeing UFOs, even in my family. So I am not somebody who chases UFOs on the regular. I've never had any alien experiences, but I'm really just kind of a practical person. And if I look at our planet, and I look at the diversity of life on our planet, it's amazing. Even Mitchell County, a lot of people don't know this statistic, but we have a very diverse group of salamanders, just little lizards here. We have all these hundreds of different types of salamanders in our little county here. So it's really hard for me to look up at the universe and just with any level of rational practicality say there can't be anything else out there. So it's just if you're looking at numbers and odds and statistics, The numbers are kind of in the favor that it, as abundant as life is on this planet, the galaxy is so vast, it just makes sense there'd be something else out there. So I'm hopeful that there is, and I hope if should anything ever, you know, visit our planet, they're peaceful and help us figure out what we can do better on our own planet.
That's a marvelous way to put it. I can tell you that just today, being over in Camden, South Carolina, very Bishopville, where I was meeting with my partner in the event, Fran Crowley. Her father was Mr. Stevens, who built the Button Museum, collected over 1 million buttons. And we were sitting there, and someone recognized her, and she introduced me as the guy that brought the Lizard Man Festival out there to the Button Museum. And they had Bigfoot stories. They both had told them to me. These stories are coming out of the woodwork. You know, once people find out that I run these events, they think they feel comfortable in telling them to me. In fact, I'm including both of those in an upcoming book that I've got coming out. Because they're just fascinating stories. And everybody, I mean, it just wasn't this way when I was growing up. I know that my parents, we wouldn't talk about things like this. I always knew people had seen ghosts, things like this. But I'll tell you what, today everybody wants to know these stories. I think it's good for us. It's good for our families and our community because, you know, there are so many cultures throughout the world that understand and rely on the fact that there's an afterlife and that things happen that we can't explain. And I just think it's an enormous thing that you're doing. Because you're going to have people there wanting to find someone to tell their stories to. Now, I know that I intend to be up there at your event, and I'm going to have a pad and a pencil, and I'm going to be jotting these down because I think they're going to be wonderful stories. When I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference and the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, my people come out of the woodwork. They give me phone numbers. The best one, I got to say this, Jimmy, there is a very well-known attorney in Kingsport, Tennessee. He's, you know, there, in every community, there's a guy that has the billboards about calling you if you got a speeding ticket or a problem. You know that attorney,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
I
do.
This guy in Kingsport, Tennessee, I've got his number. I talked to him on the reg. He has had, believe it or not, a lizard man experience in Kingsport, Tennessee in a swamp. And not only did he have it, his fiance had it too. They drew me a lizard man paw or footprint, whatever you want to call it, that matches identically to the type of prints that we have found in Bishopville. And we're talking about 250 miles away. We're talking about the mountains of Tennessee.
Sure.
And this guy has drawn me, and I'm going to show it in my talk this weekend. It's like there is a certain universality, or it's just a universal set of cryptids that seem to show up everywhere. And have you, let me ask you this, and maybe the answer is no, but maybe have you had people come forward to you and start telling their stories since you've been putting this thing together? I bet you have.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, it's become so important that actually as part of our festival, we've basically got a stage that is the focal point of the festival. And we have about 3 hours total blocked during the day-long event for just local speakers to tell their story. And we're posting a submission form just so we can organize the conversation, the storytellers. But we're getting ready to post a form on our Facebook page and on our website so people can submit their stories and get some structure around it. And we're actually opening the microphone for folks to tell all the attendees there, you know, their experiences. And it's so important. Here's my take on it. Our society, we are so inundated constantly with media, news reports, just all these terrible things in our local community, our state, our country, our global community. I just think that people are so excited to have something unknown that's not a political conversation or an interpersonal battle within communities, that it's just something fun that you take all the other things of our society out of it. It's an unknown thing, whether it's the UFOs, the Space Alien Conference in my case, the Lizard Man Festival in your case, or Marion's, the Bigfoot Festival. I think people are so excited to grasp and realize, you know, as human beings with as vast as our spread is on the planet and our research is stretched out, whether it's Antarctica, whether it's the woods of northern Canada, or even parts of the United States, we don't know everything. We find new species every day. We find new facts every day about the galaxy. I just think everybody really enjoys having a modern mythology, if you will. It's just, think of how important these stories are to past civilizations, whether it's Native American culture. If you go out west and you look at the importance of the Kachina dolls in the Native American culture, or if you go to South American cultures or Asian cultures, and then Roman and Greek mythology, of course, having these kind of stories as part of our society is just key to a healthy society, to always question, to always wonder, but what else is out there? We live in such a finite world where everyone wants to have an explanation for everything. Well, you know, why am I feeling sick today? Why am I not happy today? Or why is it not as successful as I should be? Everybody tries to put finite solutions. And I think the draw of the unknown is because there's no finite answer. And you might find somebody that's like, I don't believe it 100%. Great. That's wonderful. You definitely have the ability not to believe it all. And neither side of the fence. I just love storytelling. I mean, you mentioned Tennessee. There's a small town in Tennessee called Jonesboro that every year they have a storytelling festival that people come from all over the country to hear people tell stories. So what we're doing with the Space Festival is not unlike that. It's just the content may be a little out of the norm for the area. But the facts back it up. We've got more UFO sightings. We've got this connection to space. Our society, pop culture, love Star Wars, love the idea. So I just think it's a lot of fun. And, you know, the what if is what keeps driving our society forward. What if this? And what if we try this? And what if we look a little further? I just think it's a really exciting time. But, yeah,
well,
people
really
tell me all kinds of stories.
That's great. Yeah, now I'll kind of go over the schedule here because we've got a lot of great events. I wanted to see if you just comment on a couple. Sure. First of all, tell us about the ET bike races. Now, you mentioned movies. Two biggest blockbusters of their individual years were ET the Extraterrestrial, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You know, all of a sudden, right there, you have UFO movies that were blockbusters in their particular years. You've got the E-bike races. What's that going to be?
So what we've done is we've got a local retailer that's donated some bicycles for the smaller kids. And for those of us that are a little older now, because it has been a while since E.T. came out, if you remember, Elliot had his bicycle, and he had E.T. in a basket on the front of the bike, and he was racing to get E.T. safe so he could go back home. So we're going to have the children on their bikes with training wheels, and it's not going to be like a downhill race. It's a small point A to point B bike race. We're going to give the kids the bikes with a little basket with E.T. in the front of it, and we're going to give a prize to the kids for participation. So it's just going to be a lot of fun. So kids involved. And it is. And, you know, somebody told me, like, these kids don't know who E.T. is. And I'm like, well, it's a great time for them to learn, because that is a great family movie. So, I should mention on there, too, John, that the website is spacenc.com, as in spacenorthcarolina.com. It should be easy for people to find. If you space for Spruce Pine Alien Conference Expo, NC for North Carolina, so spacenc.com. And we've got the unidentified floating object race. We've got some people might be familiar with this concept where you have a bunch of ducks that float down the river. You have a raffle for a prize, and then we're going to have alien ducks, which is going to be kind of cool. The alien costume contest, you can't have an alien festival without folks being dressed up as aliens. And we've divided it into two categories. So we're going to have there'll be subcategories of each one. We're going to have a children's costume contest and then an adult costume contest as well. For folks who are not familiar with these alien conferences, there's a lot throughout the U.S. This is pretty common, as it is with comic conventions as well. So we got that going on. The Area 51 Inflatable Kids Park, we've got a great attraction for the kids. There's going to be some face painters doing alien face paint. There's going to be the bouncy zones for the kids. I will tell parents out there that are listening, the costume contest is early in the morning. That's 11 a.m. I understand. I've got an adult son now, but kids aren't going to be in their costumes all day. So if you come with your child dressed up, they'll be able to get the contest and have plenty of time to play. So we've got a live music. We have 80s bands. One, I just think everybody loves 80s music. It's for the most part, it's clean and family friendly. So we'll have 80s bands playing Friday and Saturday night. And then we've also got some kind of 70s, 80s, 90s, just pop rock folks playing. We've got a car show. Just to have a part of a parade, it always helps to have a car show. That's a big part of the culture here in the mountains. You cannot have a festival in Western North Carolina without having a car show. So that's part of it. And then, of course, we've got the vendors that have everything from alien quartz, which is an actual thing that exists on our planet, alien quartz vendor here. A lot of local crafters who have got alien-related products and merchandise they've created. This is a big craft arts community in Spruce Pine. I don't know if you remember this from your family being up here, but we're the home of Penland School of the Arts and Crafts, which is one of the oldest, most renowned craft schools in the world. We teach glass blowing,
internationally
metalworking.
Known. For
there you go. There you go. So you're familiar. So there's a lot of craft folks participating as well. So that's kind of the brief rundown.
Well, that sounds like just a lot of fun. I'm glad I'm going to come there. I was going to ask you something, and just says, okay, I've got a buddy that has been on The Walking Dead for seven seasons, and I told him that if he'd come up there and look like an alien, you might let him have a table. Would that be okay?
Without question, that would be absolutely wonderful. I welcome that. You know, I know that the audience for that show and the audience for this festival are one and the same. And I would absolutely love for him to come up here and participate. That would be great.
Well, you know, the deal is Walking Dead is based on it's basically an alien type invasion. If you think about it,
correct.
It came from the sky. And so he would be your real prototypical result of an alien attack on the world. So I'm talking to him, and I hope he'll be able to make it up there with me. He's always a lot of fun to bring, and so I'll see what I can do. I will certainly let you know before the event. But if I can get him there, I think it'd be great. Glad I like the idea, and so I believe that there's going to be a lot of good things happening there at the Space NC, which is Spruce Pine Alien Conference Expo. Now, something else that you and I spoke about this morning, because it's always fun when I get to talk with the guest, you know, before the show. We both love a very important thing. By the way, my team won the college bowl at Wake Forest University because I answered the following question, and everyone was mystified how I knew the answer. The question was, what's the highest point on the East Coast? And I just the buzz
it's Mount Mitchell.
Mount Mitchell. And you know what? When I said it, I said, oh no, this can't be right. You know, I'm going to be humiliated for the rest of my life. And lo and behold, it was right. I had been taught, well, I guess, by my parents. And I know that every year you have this major bike race going to the top of Mount Mitchell, and I have shagged. That's what it was called. You know, you support one of the hikers that's going up there, and it was just amazing. Mount Mitchell is a tourist attraction beyond compare, and you grew up underneath Mount Mitchell, didn't you?
I did, and you know, the race you're talking about up Mount Mitchell is the assault on Mount Mitchell, and it is a grueling, grueling bike race. And they've extended it now all the way to Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium down in South Carolina. And people come all the way from Spartanburg, hit the Blue Ridge Parkway, and climb the summit. The total ascent is more than 10,000 feet for that amount of the assault on Mount Mitchell bike race. So it's a grueling race only for the some of the most elite cyclists out there. And I did grow up in the shadow of Mount Mitchell, and, you know, it's just such an amazing place. You can stand on the top of Mount Mitchell, and on a clear day, you can see all the way to Charlotte. Matter of fact, I watched Hurricane Hugo, dating myself a little bit, so those that people don't know, a long time ago, a hurricane came so far inland from the eastern seaboard that it made its way all the way into Charlotte, and you could actually see the eye of the funnel cloud with the bare eye, without a lens or binoculars. With the bare eye, you could see the eye of the storm. So we were on top of Mount Mitchell, watched Hugo. It was awe-inspiring. And for those folks who've not been to Mount Mitchell, they've within the past decade, they've build a new visitor center and a new observation deck up on the top of it. There's a great restaurant up there. It's just a really neat place. And you can see it for almost an entire hour before you get up to it, because it's that large to summit it. And I'm talking about in a vehicle, not on foot, in a car. You can see it for an hour before you get to the top of it. And there have been sightings there for centuries. That is a mystical mountain. It goes back into the Native American culture. Speak of that mountain and its mystical properties because it's so large on the East Coast. There's been the explorer who Mount Mitchell was named after. He actually fell to his death off of a waterfall on the backside of that mountain when he was exploring it, and it's just such an interesting place. And if no one's visited it or you've not researched it, you really should check it out. It's near Asheville, North Carolina. It's a lovely, beautiful drive from Asheville. It's really an easy drive from any of the places west from North Carolina. It's not that hard to get to. It is a little bit of a commitment because you've got to drive. It's not like there's a four-lane road to take you there. It's a two-lane road, but it is definitely a really neat place. And, you know, it's kind of at that bridge where you can see the Smoky Mountains on one side, you can see the Blue Ridge Mountains on the other side. It's surrounded by the Pisgah National Forest. It's just really a unique place. And if people have not seen it, they should check it out. Elisha Mitchell,
you know,
that was the professor who found it.
And you mentioned something that I've heard from other communities. I deal a lot with Clayton, Georgia, which is in Rabun County, the most northeast county of Georgia, where we had the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And to get there, you have two-lane highway. You have 76, which is two lanes, or you have 441, which is two lanes. It checks down to two lanes. And I was asking the president of the Chamber of Commerce, I said, Linda, don't you expand these roads? She said, John, we don't want to. If you want to drive that two-lane road to get to Clayton, Georgia, and see how incredible this place and Lake Mont are, we don't want you. And I really appreciate that fact. It takes a commitment to get to these beautiful places. It really does. So, I can't wait to get back up there to see Mount Mitchell here in a couple of weeks. It's been a lot of fun. And again, as I told you a little before the podcast tonight, that I've been telling everyone about Mitchell, and it's like, oh, wow, remember that. We need to go there. And I think you're going to have a lot of visitors coming from just – me talking about it here in South Carolina, we don't have a place like Mount Mitchell. We don't have a place like Rabun County, Clayton, Georgia. We just don't have those because we don't quite make it up to those mountains. And the mountains are so beautiful. I mean, I grew up there. I guess I was familiar with them, and I said I've got to go down to Myrtle Beach. But I tell you what, those mountains are beautiful and it's majestic. And I'm so glad Mount Mitchell is doing well, and it has some things up there that people can do. So about how long now, if you get to Spruce Pine, how long does it take you to get your driving top and middle to the observatory and the station there? How long does that take?
It's around, there's kind of two answers to that. If you're a local, you can probably be there, if you know the roads, in a half an hour. If you've driven in a Midwestern part of our country or in Florida where things are in a grid format, you're looking at a hard hour of driving because it is a winding road. It's an unfamiliar road. But it's really, if I was a bird, I could be there in 15 minutes. I can actually see it from just a couple places in Spruce Pine. You can look at it, but it's around, on a clear day, you're looking at a 45 minute drive.
Okay. Well, that's not very far at all, and that's something that people can certainly do. And Spruce Pine is not that hard to get to from Asheville, which is that's a town everyone's familiar with. How far does it take to get from Asheville to Spruce Pine?
Asheville to Spruce Pine is a one-hour drive. You basically take I-26 take I-26 like you're headed to Tennessee from Asheville, headed towards Johnson City, Tennessee. And then you just hit 19E, and 19E takes you right to Spruce Pine. So from Asheville, it's literally one turn. You get on I-26, you head west, and then you just take 19E, and it goes right to Spruce Pine, North Carolina.
Well, that was a trick question. That way I have to check my GPS. I know how to get to Asheville. So I'll just 19E and get on up there and see you folks. And the conference / expo, what are the hours on Friday and Saturday for the event?
So Friday night, we're kicking off on Friday night with a concert and Dark Sky Observatory tours. The kind of the beautiful thing about this event is we want everybody looking up. We don't want people, our society now, so many people that we pass on the street or in coffee shops or in the mall or shopping areas, everyone is looking down. Everyone's looking at their mobile device in their hand, or they're looking down at their laptops and coffee shops. If you think about breaking this down to about Spruce Pine, what we love is we want everyone looking up. So we start with looking up Friday night with Dark Sky Observatory tours. People will be looking up onto the stage where the rock bands will be playing. There's an 80s band that'll be playing that night, and then a local southern rock kind of band. All good, clean music. You can have your kids there listen to it, and they won't hear anything inappropriate. So there'll be a great night of music. And then Dark Sky Observatories, as soon as it gets dark, every half hour there'll be a shuttle taking folks from the festival up to the Dark Sky Observatory. And that's Friday night. So it'll be around 7 p.m. When the bands start till about 11 p.m. The bands will probably stop about 10 o'clock with music. It's 10 o'clock-ish. And then the Dark Sky Observatory stores will stop around 11. Then we go drop over into a Saturday. Saturday at 9 a.m., the festival opens. We've got events. We kind of have the two different schedules. There is a main stage event, and on the main stage, we'll be having all of the speakers, people telling their stories, the costume contests. We've got a couple panel discussions. Mike Barra from the History Channel's Ancient Aliens is coming to speak as part of a panel to discuss the alien phenomenon in popular culture. And so there's events all day long on the main stage. And then outside the main stage, throughout the entire lower street of Spruce Pine, which is a river boarding street, it boards basically to the train tracks and the river, and there's a lot of shops down there. We'll have about 40 vendors with all kinds of different products and food vendors. And then we'll also have the kids zone at the end. And that main festival will be from 9 a.m. until around 6 p.m. And then there'll be an award show between 6 and 7 where we name best vendor of the show. We go back over and present the people that were the winners of the contest, the alien contest, the raffle. And then we go right back into the bands at 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock again with tours up to the Dark Sky Observatory. So pretty full two nights, one day event.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to correct you on one thing. You're going to have 41 vendors. I'll be there.
There we go. Hey, I like that. And you know, if your buddy's walk a day comes, let's just say 42. So we'll just add that to the list there, which would be great. You know,
I'll bring him a set. I've got a table. I'll bring him a table. We'll be right there together. So you'll have 42 vendors, and it'll be a lot of fun. So
if I have to drag one out of a coffee shop and set up there, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get it worked out. I run enough events every year. That's how I make a living. So we will all make it work out. Work together. And Space NC is going to be a legendary event. I can tell you that I will be blanketing Facebook with pictures from this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so glad that someone else other than myself, because I do a lot of Bigfoot events and the Lizard Man Festival, and it warms my heart to see someone do another theme event based around the paranormal, but it's not very para. It's pretty normal. That's what I tell people. So,
yeah.
I've got my event coming up this weekend, the Lizard Festival, and I'll certainly be promoting your event because, you know, there are many people from out of town coming to Bishopville that want to go to things like this. So I'll probably just create a poster and put it up right there in the front and say, go to this event. I'll be there. You can catch a new book. You can catch a buddy from The Walking Dead, and we're going to have a great time. So Jimmy, I look forward to seeing you in 2.5 weeks. At Space NC, everybody come to Mitchell County, North Carolina, under the beautiful shadow of Mount Mitchell, to Spruce Pine, North Carolina, to one of the most amazing and creative events that I believe North Carolina has ever had, the Space Expo. So what's the website again, Jimmy?
It's spacenc.com. You can also just type in Spruce Pine Alien Conference in Facebook, and it'll bring you there. You can Google it. It'll bring up our Twitter handle as well. I mean, it's and you can also, there's links on the spacenc.com website to both Facebook and Twitter. And I tell you, we've got the community's been so supportive. There's a lodge up here. It's called the Big Lynn Lodge, and it's got the most beautiful views off the parkway. And they love the idea from their porch. They say that people have seen, they've got like this dining room. Matter of fact, they want people to see the view so much. If you stay there, they give you your dinner and your breakfast, both included in your room break, because they want you to sit there and look at this gorgeous view. And it looks just out across the Blue Ridge Mountains. And they have a lot of groups up there to do an observation as well. And they're one of the groups that just came out and said, we want this event to happen. We love this idea. And even this lodge, the Big Lynn Lodge here in town, is just poured out to try to help get the word out. And all their visitors that come up there, they tell them to come back for this weekend, and folks like you down in Myrtle Beach, you know. And I was just in Myrtle Beach literally 3 weeks ago for a show, and then I had a trade show I do there every March as well, so I'm down there all the time. And I'm getting people from all over just so excited to to hear this, and I can't wait. I love my little hometown. I travel nationally with my work and my career. I'm all over this country, and I've seen a lot of beautiful places. There are places as beautiful as Spruce Pine to the people who are from there. But to me, this is the most beautiful place on earth. And I hope people come up here and see the, you know, where the French Broad River, the headwaters are for that, where that water comes from, and to see these mountains that lead to the streams and lead to the rivers that lead to the ocean. And we've got the most beautiful foliage in fall and October. It's like a postcard here. And I hope people come to this festival to have fun and have a good time and tell their story. And I hope they say, you know what, maybe we should consider moving up here, buy a second home up here. Maybe we should open a business up here. This place is cool and the people are really interesting. So that's what we hope comes of this. We just want people to fall in love with the town that we all call home.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure having you on this inaugural episode of SprucePine.org podcast. And next week, buddy Eric Holly, he is an astronomer, and he's going to tell us all about the night sky you might be able to expect. He takes the telescopes all over the Carolinas. He's got a huge 11-inch telescope that he is. And I tell you,
wow.
For those that don't know, an 11-inch telescope is a pretty big deal. And he's got a sun filter. He's
it
bringing
is.
All this to Lizard Man. And we can't wait. I think everyone's more excited about Eric's telescope than they are Lizard Man. But we'll see. I'll try to tone that down a little bit. But so it's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to talk about the night sky, what we can expect to see if Jupiter's rising, where is Mercury, where are some of the stars that we could expect to see. And I thought that would be a lot of fun. He's going to give me a star chart. I'll post it on Spruce.org, and it'll help people get ready if they're really astronomy nerds. And I'm one of them. Sounds like you may be too, right, Jimmy?
Same here.
That's right.
I am, and I just can't wait. It's so exciting.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. We'll be back next week, SprucePine.org. Check us out on Facebook at SprucePine.org, and please check us out on the web. SprucePine.org. Look, this is Dr. John, and I am now Dr. John with SprucePine.org. Not only scary cast and pop culture stars, but we got a lot of great things for folks. So we'll see you next week, Jenny. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you.